Welcome back to episode 6 of Brothers from Another Mother. And my name is Syed Kerblai. And this episode, episode 6, is Imposter Syndrome. And it's sponsored by Jobs and Care and the CEO, Gavin. Just want to say thanks to him for sponsoring this episode. As the name of the company implies, it's recruitment for jobs in the care sector, because obviously we have an aging population and we don't have enough recruitment into the care sector. So please have a look at the website. The web link will be included in the YouTube channel, and other information will be there as well. As I said, my name is Syed Kerblai, and I want to say salam, shalom, namaste, sat sri akal, and I'll pass over to my brother.
Thanks, brother. Yeah, my name is Dhanavir Singh. So, hola, bonjour, buongiorno, and waiguji ka khalsa, waiguji ka te, which is really important to me, being a Sikh. So, nice to see you all back for episode 6.
Brilliant. We have been having some technical difficulties today. So, hopefully, this episode will be edited to cut out any problems, but so bear with us. And yeah, it's just really good to get to this final episode of this series, and thank you for all our listeners to date. And future series will be dependent on the interest we've have from this series and feedback and any improvements suggested that we can take forward for a potential second series, which is still not confirmed. But myself, Dhanavir, and thanks to Liam, who is a important part of this team behind the scene, we're going to have a kind of a brainstorming session, you know, and can on the conclusion of that, we can see what we do going forward. So without further ado, we're going to talk in this episode about imposter syndrome. And normally, all the episodes to date have been unscripted. And that still applies for today, but I've just taken some bullet points to keep myself right, you know, because it's a quite important thing that we're talking about. I just want to, before we start, just to say we're due to copyright, we can't, share the stuff on screen, but we're using the resource Very Well Mind and the guidance there regarding imposter syndrome. And it's based on expert research by Dr. Valerie Young. And again, the link to that website will be added to the YouTube channel for those who want to find out more. And because we won't be able to cover everything in this episode, and it's important that we cover the main points here, and then we talk personally and openly about all imposter syndromes, you know, as brothers from another mother and from our faith and religion. So just a couple of points to start off with then. What is imposter syndrome? So imposter syndrome is not a diagnosable mental illness, okay? Instead, the term is usually narrowly applied to intelligence or achievement, although it also has links to perfectionism and the social context. So as we go along, you'll understand, you know, the links to the previous episode that we're talking about. This goes back to some of the research that was carried out in the 1970s, and that was psychologists Susanna Innes, Pauline Rose, and Clance. And so that's what we'll be talking about. So that's the reference points to what we're talking about. And again, the website link will be provided in the YouTube channel. There's five types of what's classified as imposter syndrome. The first type is perfectionist. The second type is the expert. The third type is a natural genius. The fourth type is a soloist. And the fifth type is the super person. Okay. And again, I'm not going to go into the definition, so please have a look at the website that we've referenced as part of this conversation that we have. But what we'll talk about, and this is important that we talk about this, there's kind of seven kind of behavioral indicators, you know, to look out for. Basically, what does it feel like, you know? So the seven indicators that we kind of be loosely kind of discussing as part of this podcast is one, the inability to have realistic kind of acceptance of our skills and competencies. Number two is attributing our success to external factors. Number three is berating our own performance. Okay. Number four, the fear that we won't live up to expectations. Number five is overachieving. Number six is self-doubt, and therefore affects self-worth as well. Okay. And number seven, it's quite a big one, this one, and it kind of links to our last episode, episode five that we had, which we were talking about failures to success. Setting very challenging goals and feeling disappointed when we fall short of those expectations and we don't meet those goals. Okay. So firstly, thanks to my brother here to agreed to openly talk about his imposter syndrome, and I'll equally do that for myself. You know, as we will be touching on quite things quite personal to us, we won't be mentioning anybody's names, you know, family members, work colleagues, managers, organizations. The reason being is obviously because it's a libel issue, but secondly, we're talking about our feelings, you know, right? Some people maybe get offended, you know. Some people might hear this and think we're talking about them, but it's a general thing, you know. We're not talking about that person, but it's the feeling that people may have, okay? How does that sound, brother?
Yeah, sounds all good.
Yeah, and can you still hear and see me?
Yeah, all nice and clear.
Brilliant, thank you. So everything that I've just mentioned there then, and again, before I go further on, I want to thank Liam for his help and in the production of these podcasts in the past and hopefully in the future as well. And he's a valuable member of the team and behind the scenes, and hopefully we'll get him a camera sometime. So just important that we say that. As he's not here, I now go to you and say about how do you think and how do you feel about what we've said so far regarding imposter syndrome?
Yeah, thank you. A lot of information obviously taken and, you know, covered it quite well. And just to repeat, yeah, if you want to check all that in detail, definitely check the website, which will be put in the description, the YouTube channel. It does hit home. Obviously, I've done my homework a little bit a few weeks ago on this subject, and it was quite scary reading over because, like, before we even talked about this or mentioned the subject, I wasn't really too sure what it actually meant. But when I started reading, you know, from the website, from that very well mind, it was like quite scary that how much it was relatable. And also, again, totally not going to mention anybody's name, but also seeing it in our own communities. How much is relatable there as well. So, yeah, no, it was like a sort of eureka moment for me as well to think, oh my God, that's a lot of me as well relating to me. So, I mean, personally, and that's, we are going to be quite personal here, I definitely fit in some of those categories. I mean, one of the things I was thinking about is that organizations that I've worked in and I've done really well and kind of some of it, you know, maybe my own merits, then got to a stage where I was kind of afraid to ask for help because I felt like I got there on my own. But then realizing, did I really get there on my own? Because I think we've talked about this before. We underestimate that we do ask for a lot of help and we don't. And sometimes we think it's ours, but we don't realize it comes from somewhere else. Someone's give it to you. Someone's give it to me. Then I've given it to someone else, the knowledge. Yeah. So we have had it from somewhere, but we become, I think, sometimes quite egotistic and think, no, this is mine. So where my imposter syndrome maybe has been, and I'm going to, again, open and honest, is where I've maybe forgot you've taught me, or I forgot, you know, a person's taught me something, and I've kind of made it my own baby, and then got to a stage where I feel like I'm above everything. I can't ask for help anymore. And I have been there, you know, and work where I started becoming challenged, but I'm afraid to maybe reach out because I thought, but I got here myself. How come now I need to go back and ask someone? So I think that's how it relates to me. And that's definitely imposter syndrome. And I never knew that until I read, you know, your homework, brother. So it's quite scary.
Yeah, no, thanks for that. And thanks for your honesty there. So out of the five, I'm going to, another probing question for you then, because I'll do this for myself and you can ask me these same questions as well. Out of the five types, the perfectionist, the expert, the natural genius, the soloist, or the super person, which one do you think you are?
I would say number two, the expert.
Yeah, because that's quite important, because that one is, I think we can both relate to that, because the definition of that, again, you can read the definition on the website. I'm going to be, you know, not quoting verbatim, but my understanding of the description is you want to be the expert at everything before you think you're good enough, you know. But I know, you know, I've asked my brother here to have the page open if he wants to read anything out. Do you want to? I'm going to put you in the spot. Do you fancy reading out what the definition is there? If you've got it open.
Yeah, I actually have got open, and I think it'll be helpful. You almost kind of got it there, to be honest with you. Nice summary. But yeah, the expert is, the expert feels like an imposter because they don't know everything, and there is to know about a particular subject or topic. Or they haven't mastered every step in a process. Because there is more them to learn, they don't feel as they've reached the rank of expert.
Yeah. And I would say 100% from that description and what you've said, I definitely fit into that category. You know, I'm definitely not a soloist. I'm not a lone wolf. So I'm definitely not that. I'm definitely not a natural genius, right? And I'm not a perfectionist, because I don't agree with perfection, because perfection is good for a standard, but you shouldn't always be chasing it, because that's where kind of mental health stuff kicks in and stuff as well, because you always feel like you're failing. And the super person, I don't think, you know, that's me. But do you want to read out? Because this, I think what we've stuffed in our communities is which is the perfectionist, the expert, the soloist, and potentially, you know, borderline super person. But I think it's 1, 2, and 4 that we really, you know, to struggle with in our communities. Do you want to read out, actually, we know what perfectionist is, but do you want to read out the description anyway?
Yeah, no, I think we should. I think it's important. So the perfectionist, this type of imposter syndrome involves believing that unless you were absolutely perfect, you could have done better. You feel like an imposter because your perfectionist traits make you believe that you're not as good as others might think you are. That's quite scary, actually. I think maybe there's some elements from me there as well. Yeah, let's go for the soloist. Yeah.
The soloist, and then we'll go to the super person, and then at the end we'll go to the natural genius. So yeah, the soloist.
So that it's also possible to feel like an imposter if you had to ask for help to reach a certain level or status. Since you couldn't get there on your own, you question your competence or abilities. So again, I was, you know, frightened when I was reading some of these. And the super person, which is number 5, it says this type of imposter syndrome involves believing that you must be the hardest worker or reach the highest levels of achievement possible. And if you don't, you're a fraud.
Yeah. And so, and just to finish off the definitions there, do you want to go to number 3, which is the natural genius?
Yeah, so in this imposter syndrome type, you may feel like a fraud simply because you don't believe that you're naturally intelligent or competent. If you don't get something right the first time around, or it takes you longer to master a skill, you feel like an imposter.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I personally think in our communities, we suffer 1, which is a perfectionist, the 2 is the expert, and 4 is a soloist, you know, and then the super person, and then the natural genius, in that kind of potential order, you know. And so that means we're all of them, right? No, but
yeah, I know, we actually are.
Yeah, you know, that's it. And that's why the standards are so high, because as we said before, every single parent, you know, and it's been used it's been used in other cultures by tiger moms and tiger dads and stuff, whatever. And I think it's mostly tiger moms. And they'll all, like, they'll say, oh, yeah, you know, put their son, you know, be a lawyer or be a doctor, right? But nobody tells you to be a plumber or a joiner or a civil servant, you know. Sorry, my words weren't I'm sure I said silver at the beginning there, but civil servant or public servant, you know. And but yeah, they were wanting to be doctors and lawyers, but then equally they don't have the skills to support you to become doctors and lawyers. They ask you to become doctors and lawyers, but sometimes they're not even educated themselves to be able to help you with the homework to do become doctors and lawyers. Does that make sense?
It does indeed. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. So anyway, going on to how it feels like, I think I kind of read out some of those things about feeling you don't have the inability, you don't have the competence and the skills, and your success is attributed to external factors. Berating your own performance, fear that you won't live up to expectations, overachieving, self-doubt, self-worth, you know, and that, you know, setting very challenging goals and feeling disappointed when you fall short, you know. But I have a joke about that because I'm 5'5". But anyway. but yeah, so... The feelings, though, that we talked about, they're really important because that can really affect our mental health as well, you know. And have you, you know, in the past or present, and had those feelings and stuff as well?
Yeah, I have. I just wanted to add, we're not experts at this, obviously, when we're quoting from a professional website. So I want to make that clear. We're not here to give any solutions, but just to have a conversation, as we always mention in our podcast, because... You know, like I say, when I read this, you know, it really resonated with me with some of the things maybe I've been through or going through currently. In terms of feeling, yeah, I think just going back ever slightly from the parent side, you know, kind of setting you these really high goals, but without disrespect to any of our parents or any parents out there, if they've not educated themselves, it is difficult for them, that child, to then start picking up the pieces and maybe becoming a doctor or lawyer. But then when the pressure kicks in, this is maybe the imposter syndrome, they think, I need to do well, because in our communities, everybody's doctors or lawyers or accountants. And if I don't reach out, if I'm just working in, I don't know, let's say Tesco's or something, I'm going to look like a failure here. And again, this is why I know you said it connects to the last episode, because it does, because it's very close-knit. So you think you're a failure, then you think, then you start doubting yourself, your self-worth. You start having that feeling like, I must be rubbish. I can't achieve anything. Not realizing everybody's got their own levels of skills. And I think we have to embrace that as well. Yeah, we've got the ability to learn and do well in life, but there's a certain level. And again, I think I've talked about this, and if you want to be honest here, like, I feel like sometimes I've reached my peak sometimes in certain elements at work. And then I feel like, now, am I like, is that my kind of like, is that my career over in a sense? Like, I can't go any further. But this falls back to what I think I've mentioned before as well, about getting the right tools in place and systems in place where it can help you try to learn and enhance, you know, whatever field you're in. I think that's very important in any organization, which a lot of organizations fail people in this subject, is enhancing and educating and helping you through, because we're maybe that perfectionist or, you know, that soulless trying to do our things on our own and climb the ladder and forgetting about our, you know, our peers.
Yeah, that soloist is a big problem in our communities, and there's a problem in a lot of communities, and in our workplace, I've seen it a lot of times and stuff. And because as somebody who I've quoted before, Simon Sinek, he's written books on, first book was Finding Your Why. So your why is your purpose, you know, your self-worth, you know. And but also, why are you, you know, particular project that you're doing? And, you know, and he quotes various organizations like Apple, you know, where why is the center of what they do. It is not competition, you know. I've heard him speak about this before. And again, because I'm quoting other people, and again, we'll add the reference websites or clips within the channel here, because it's only right that, you know, we reference, you know, the sources of information that we're using. Again, as Brother Dambir has mentioned, that, you know, we're not experts in any of this. This is two guys having a chat, two guys, you know, could be brothers from another mother, you know. And but then going back to the other episodes, so the golden thread of all the episodes that we have recorded to date has been imposter syndrome, okay, is as my brother knows here, that the, we, you know, we, episode one, we talked about his heart attack, you know, and his health and well-being journey, you know, from the path, a different path chosen, and to the different path taken, you know, to episode two, which was about faith, you know, and episode three, which was about interfaith, episode four, which was about religion, and episode five, which was failures to success. All of these is now has taken us to quote the Marvel, the end game, which is imposter syndrome, you know. And also for those eagle eye viewers on YouTube, you know, you will see my different t-shirts, my caps, you know, and I did have a Mind t-shirt on, which is a mental health charity. I did have a Diabetes Scotland or Diabetes UK t-shirt on. I had my Touch Rugby cap, my Touch Rugby top. I had the Rebel PT hoodie. So all these are important part of my being, you know, and because what I've been trying to do is, you know, try not to be a super person, but what I'm saying, all of these are factors or behavioral insights to my character, you know. And so, yeah, those now people were like, oh, I'm going to have to go look for these Easter eggs now. So they will have to go back to the YouTube channels and maybe listen to the, look at those for those different indicators. And for those on Spotify, you know, you may want to go into the YouTube channel to have a look. So, yeah, so everything that I've just mentioned there regarding what makes us who we are and our character. Can you then, Dambir, think about examples of what I've said there regarding how things make you feel in any personal or past example?
Yeah, so I think obviously it's always going to be for me like work related. At the moment, like I feel like I've lost my purpose a little bit. I'm going through again personally, you know, mental health issues that I feel like kind of, I don't know what direction to go in anymore. COVID's been a big player in that, you know, where everything for me was like quite rosy during, you know, pre-pandemic times. And then post-pandemic, I feel like now I've like, I don't know where to go, what to do. I feel everybody's on their own missions. It's almost like kind of selfish, which is kind of bringing me down a little bit because I've always been quite a team player. I like working within a team. I like bouncing off people. And I feel like I've lost that. So now I feel like I'm this little imposter sitting in my own silo and like, kind of like, what do I do now? And that's where I am at the moment mentally. And that has really like affected me quite badly. Trying to get through it. These obviously podcasts help. My faith definitely helps connecting these to the other podcasts. You know, having a Sikh, you know, religion is helping, because without those things, I think I would be like finished, you know, and we've talked about this before. It's the little things that kind of help you going.
Well, definitely, but what also, you're really being hard on yourself, right? Because you're following a faith and you're a Khalsa and you're following a religion, okay? Also, between pre-pandemic, you know, COVID, then the pandemic and lockdown, then having a heart attack and surviving that, you've come back so many times, right? And because of your imposter, you can't recognize that. I'm putting a mirror in front of you and saying, this is your mirror. Look at this, how well you've done, you know, where you were, sole breadwinner and all that stuff, and, you know, obviously wife's working out and brilliant and stuff. But, you know, and that's what we've connected on. We've had similar but different stories, you know, and we can relate to so many of this. But the thing is, me speaking to you over the years has helped me to self-reflect. And hopefully when you speak and through these podcasts has had the opportunity to self-reflect as well. Because letting it out is part of that healing process. And also sometimes, and I was actually thinking about it when you were speaking there about you feeling an imposter and the feeling of uncertainty and self-worth. Mm. What it is a combination of factors. I personally think, from my experience, is you're currently out of your comfort zone, right? You know, because comfort zone is I can do this job and I'm doing it. Then you're thrown into another area where you've not done that type of job before, right? But as I said before, but that's where true performance and true learning and development happens, you know, picking up new skills. But that only helps so if you ask for help. Ask me for help, ask others, your manager for help, and, you know, all that stuff. And I know, you know, you've had issues with management and I've had issues and stuff as well. But, you know, hopefully, you know, you new manager and, you know, is it's all good there. And, you know, you can. And we've talked about this as well without going into detail, because respecting people's, you know, because everybody's struggling in their own way, you know. And those people who haven't managed us correctly is because they weren't skilled in the management, you know. And, yeah, no, so I think it's also, like, understanding the growth model, or the grow model, sorry, you know. And if I remember it correctly, I think grow stands for goals, reality, objectives, or worth or self-worth, you know. I think that's what that stands for. And there's a whole kind of a diagram, again, we'll put into the you know, the YouTube channel. It shows you there's different bubbles. The first bubble is comfort zone, so everything's nice and rosy, you know, and you're not really bothered of being challenged and stuff, right? And the next one, I think it's the learning zone, you know. So you got a new job and it's difficult. You have to pick up new skills. But that only works is if you're constantly asking for help. The most successful people in the world have asked for help. And as we said before, you know, that soul waste thing, yeah, that doesn't work, because it's the most successful people. Nobody is like, somebody else has said, it was this, again, Simon Sinek, or it could be Stephen Bartlett, you know, with his dad as the CEO, or others who have said there's no such thing as a self-made man, right? Your parents help you to brought you into this world. Your teachers teach you something at school, you know. Your friends and your family members and definitely the wives, you know, like, you know, plays to them, you know, right? So, like, we're constant, you know, we're not by ourselves. And in the workplace, even the Costa people, the canteen staff, the cleaners, the, you know, security guards, you know, they're part of our journey as well. So, you know, and yeah, so what's your views on that, brother?
Yeah, when that's what I was mentioning before. We underestimate where you're picking up your little knowledges or snippet information or nuggets from. It can be from anybody, from, you know, from the janitor to the Costa person to you, you know, to like a friend outside, like a colleague or whatever. So yeah, I think it's important to recognize that and respect, you know, respect that as well and be grateful for that. And yeah, and I do get that, and I think you know, you're right. And again, we're trying to keep this away from, you know, being too sensitive and letting anything out, but I suppose asking for help, you know, when you are in your comfort zone, you feel like you don't have to ask for help. But when you're not in your, when you are tucked out your comfort zone and you need to ask for help, I think it helps when you know you're in a place where someone is willing to help you and got the time to help you and be there when you need them. And I feel, just touching back when I was saying post-pandemic, I think that was easier when you were in a place where everybody was feeling more together, where I feel like everybody's become quite selfish now. I think that's just the way society's turned now, anyway, in general. You know, before it was like you were trying to build a relationship, but that one-on-one, like just say you and I would try to talk and, you know, build a relationship together. Yeah. Now people are trying to build a relationship with this kind of fake social media. So forget getting one love or like from someone. They're looking for all these likes, and it's from people that who don't actually have your best interest at heart. They're just there because they've seen something you posted, and it's like, now we're looking for those type of likes and love. We're not actually looking for the real love and like, which was in person and seeing someone and building that relationship up. There's no relationship online. That's just like a, you know, facade, basically. It's all fake, you know, smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. It just reminds me of, this is going to come about left field, something that Ed Sheeran said, right? Ed Sheeran says, I only use social media as a tool to promote. And that's, you know, and I've said that to somebody else, right, who wasn't really on social media, but he was trying to, you know, he was trying to promote his book. But I said, you have to use it as a marketing tool, right, to promote your thing. It's not about, you know, you can post pictures of your breakfast if you want, right, you know, but anyway, what Ed Sheeran was saying, when I see people with social media with a million followers and it, they're taking pictures of their breakfast and something about them on the bus stop and stuff, that only highlights concern for me that this person has, they're reaching out for somebody to like them or reaching out for somebody to engage with them, right? But it's more of a worry if you've got 5,000 or 5 million followers and they're waiting for your next post regarding your breakfast or your yoga stretch and stuff like that. Right. So, but yeah, you're right. And but this has been now becoming the problem with social media, you know, and the new generation don't understand interactions or body language because they're working, living in isolation and living behind social media, you know, and it's causing a different kind of imposter syndrome and is therefore creating media to social anxiety.
Scary, that, you know? Scary. I know, and this connects, place I'm wondering, where's this gone? I'll tell you when it's gone. We are all imposters on that as well, because what everybody's showing, this maybe, or this lifestyle of this beautiful breakfast in the morning, you in the background, they're probably upset and crying and mentally suffering, but all you've seen is this picture of his breakfast and, let's say, Harvey Nichols or something like that. But you don't know what they're actually going through. And this is what we're creating now. We're creating this kind of, this fakeness with everybody. No one's bringing their real selves, let's use the word, to work. You know, whether that's on social media or at work physically or outside with your friends. We've made this kind of fake thing. And then people think, those who know that person personally, they'll be like, that's rubbish. That's not even him, you know. And it's terrible what we've actually created. And it all comes back to imposter syndrome. And that's one thing I would say just on the back of that is, like, I, as you probably might know, I do social media. And for the listeners, I've took a little break from it. I'm not as active as I was, although I'm still on it. I do post regular in terms of like pictures and some prayer scriptures, but I'm not on it as I was before because life's gone a bit busy in a positive way, I have to say. Like, you know, as I probably know, I do school visits and all that and talk about faith and things. With Edinburgh Faith. Well, again, we'll put that in the description in the YouTube channel. So I've been quite busy in that sense, but I'm kind of mentally drained from social media at the moment, and this is why I'm struggling to kind of post at the moment. But one thing I was going to say was, when I went on social media, one thing I said to myself was, I'm doing this for me, not for anyone else. So I wasn't really focusing too much on the loves and likes. It was just for me to kind of like get a message out there. And if it meant that message was for me, that's as far as it goes. If someone else hears it and listens to it, that's a bonus. But I wasn't bothered about that as much. And I think that's what kept me kind of going. I need to get back into it, obviously, because I do enjoy doing it. It's just like life's got the best of me at the moment.
No, you're doing the right thing, because digital detox is quite important, you know, and really important for the mind, because don't feel like you have to put stuff on, you know, and those people who seem to be, you know, really, you know, have 5 million followers on Instagram, that seems to be their life. They're constantly faking it to keep up with the demand, right? Yes. You know, and that can be, as you said, it could be in between crumbling nightmares to themselves and other people around them. But on the social media, just to get the likes, they're coming across really bubbly and, you know, they're trying to fake it till they make it. But that's just an observation rather than a generalization, you know. Yeah. But it's a worry. It's a worry regarding society, you know, that we're just now. Because luckily, you still have faith and religion to cling on to. Just imagine, though, somebody who doesn't have faith, doesn't have a connected community, does not have a connected family, and doesn't have a religion to follow, how empty do you think those person would feel then?
Well, look, you know, we're not making this up, guys. I know we're not professionals, but you're seeing it. Just back there, I can't remember his name, the guy from One Direction. Look at him in a beautiful life, multimillionaire.
We won't go too much into
you've got someone from the Friends episode, series as well. What I mean is, as much as you may see something and think, wow, these guys are doing so well and this person is so well, there is this inner darkness that no one's actually aware of.
We all have in the dark. I have, you know, I'll talk about me in a minute because I find it really difficult to talk about me, but I will do by the time this podcast, this episode is over and stuff. but I, talking about the darkness, I do have darkness, you know, and you know, I've suffered from mental health issues, you know, and that's why I did that. You know, I do a lot of stuff for charity. I've done, you know, the Tough Mudder Challenge, the 10K Tough Mudder Challenge. I did that for the Mind Charity because that was off the aftermath of me having a real bad depression, really, you know. And again, it's like, you know that I'm multi-skilled, right? Okay. You potentially see, and the reason why we also do this podcast, you know, and you can see today, I'm in my, you know, smartish clothes, you know, I've got no gimmicks going on. This is me. This is, you know, and actually, I should have had my glasses on as well, but I can just about see you. So I'll see if I can. Yeah, there we go. I can see better now. So this is me. So, but then for me to feel that, I need to believe it, you know, but equally, like, no matter how you're feeling in any particular day, brother, you know, you're better than that, right? Mm. So if you're feeling like I felt alone, you know, and you know, like my personal circumstances, which I'm not going to divulge just now because it's quite sensitive and stuff, you know, there are a lot of people involved, you know. And so I've had a difficult situation, you know. I'm going to give them a shout out to my counsellors, actually. You know, I've been seeing a counsellor since March, you know, and that's with Relationship Scotland. So a big shout out to all the team there, and particularly, you know, I won't name that because I've not asked their approval. So I'm going to say, you know, the regular the receptionist I speak to, brilliant lady, and, you know, my counsellor, you know, another brilliant lady and stuff as well. So big shout out to them because I'm not going to name them. But what I'm going to put a link into our your YouTube channel for Relationship Scotland because they've been brilliant, you know. Also to, you know, the GPs at my practice, to the mental health nurse, you know, and the health and social care partnership support services, you know, and referral, you know, and hopefully next week I'm due to start Active for Health program at the gym as well, and that's a referral as well. So thanks to all them, you know, and but the point is, we're not alone, we're not soloists, you know, right? It takes all those people to help us build ourselves back up again, you know. And that was it took a long time, waiting time for stuff, if, you know, people, you know, or start going on their, you know, on their shall we say, rant regarding minorities getting special treatment and stuff. Everybody should get treatment, you know. And but this has been a really difficult challenge for me regarding my imposter syndrome because I don't talk about what I'm going through. You know, I found it really difficult because in our communities, we do not talk about mental health. You know, Because as we spoke before, if you talk about mental health, they'll either brush you off because they don't understand, or they'll call you pagal, which is crazy, you know, right? Or they go pagal oge, he's gone crazy. Or they'll say, you know, he needs to go into an institution and stuff like that, because they just don't understand. Because everybody has a different types of imposter syndromes, and in our community, it sounds like we have all of them, right? But within that, it doesn't leave much for compassion or empathy, you know, right? But that is because everybody's in a race, you know? Mm-hmm. And for example, like, I didn't want to move down to London, and that's another part of imposter syndrome. And that's why my mum and dad moved down to Watford, because they wanted to be closer to my sisters, you know, when they were down there, and they wanted to see their grandchildren, you know. But I didn't want to go down there because I didn't want to go into the London rat race, you know, which is you're either commuting or you're working, you know, and you do not have a life, and you have two jobs to pay the rent, you know. And that's, you know, something I've come to terms with. You know, I had a lot of regrets when my mum and dad passed away and stuff, and, you know, and they were down there and I was up here and stuff, and that's something I've come to terms with, you know. So all those things, my job, my experience for the last 26 years of my career, the lack of talent management, you know, we've talked about this before, brother, you know, that we are so multi-skilled as people from minorities and stuff, and because we have to be, you know, to get to the standard of everybody else, shall we say. And I'm not going to bring color into this, because I'm just privilege, shall we say, you know. But the worst kind of privilege I find, and this is imposter syndrome as well, you know, part of all that, is those people, no matter what color they are, they get to status, you know, and then they become privileged, or worse, acquired privilege, and they don't give back. And I've seen that in my community. I don't know if you've seen in your communities, those, you know, and become doctors and lawyers, and they've been on a soloist route, and they've not given back to anybody else, or is elbows out mentality.
That's true. Yeah, no, I've definitely seen that. Again, that's a very egotistic and selfish way of looking at things, and people, unfortunately, are like that, especially in our communities, and it's a shame. But I'm glad we're really talking about this, and I say this, I do a really, you know, humble bainty meaning request to all my listeners to, you know, to take some time out and listen to this podcast, because, you know, we're talking truth here from our own perspectives and lived experiences, because, you know, we all suffer, and I think we're all imposters in our way, because we're so scared to tell anybody because of this whole thing. Oh, he's lost the plot, but he just needs to wake up. And even to the extent where I know it's all changed a lot, but you used to get a slap from your parents saying, stop being stupid, wake up, you know. and I've been there, you know.
or get a chuckle out, I mean, which is the slipper out, you know.
Yeah. It's true. So I think we need to, you know, these kind of conversations should be more regular in our communities. And our own places of worship, you know, be it Gurdwara, mosque, you know, mandir, you know, it's a Hindu place of worship. We're not having these conversations. We're not embracing, you know, mental health to help people get out of some of the mental health they're having, because we're all scared to talk about it, because we feel we're going to be like we're losers or imposters if we talk about or we're weak. You know, that's one of the biggest things we have in our culture, is that people automatically think you're a weak person. You're a weak person for asking for help. You're a weak person because you've got mental health issues. You're a weak person because you can't manage your workload or something. But it's not. It's normal. And I think we need to normalize some of that. It's good asking for help. It's good reaching out to people, you know. I think I'm talking to myself here. This is what I'm talking about. This is the whole point of, you know, I think when you do podcasts or any social media videos, that's what I said, you know, a few minutes ago. You're telling yourself, and hopefully I learned from this myself.
Yeah, but that's the thing, brother. It's that self-reflection is so important too. So when, you know, counseling is not about somebody telling you what you need to do. The counseling is about giving you a mirror of self-reflection, right? Okay. They become the mirror, right? Mm. And you, by talking through your issues, you then find your own answers, right? And that's what a lot of people don't understand about counseling, right? Okay. They're not there to give you answers. It's for you to find your own answers by them probing you know, the not probing you, that sounds a bit dodgy. It's probing your experience and your behaviors, you know, and your life experience, your lived experience, your trauma, childhood trauma, community traumas, physical, mental abuse, you know. And I've not gone to that because I have been a victim of physical and mental abuse, right? You know, and that's childhood and stuff. And I'm not going to talk about it in this podcast because, for various reasons, because I've not addressed it myself, right? And hopefully I'm going to be doing that, you know, with the counselor soon. But what I'm saying is that I would plead to anybody in the community, any of your listeners, if you're struggling, you know, go to Andy's Men Club. You know, there's you know, if those are men who feel like they can't speak to their wives, their spouses, and, you know, as we know, the suicide rate for men is quite high, you know, especially certain age group, you know. And therefore, for young children, there's CAMHS, you know, there's Child Adolescent Mental Health Services. For adults, there's the SAMH, you know. We've got Mind Charity, you know. We've got Samaritans, you know. We've got Breathing Space, you know. And we'll put links, all these links in, you know, to the YouTube channel, because it's so important that we do this, you know, because somebody like myself who suffered, you know, for going on 30 years, right, and recent challenges I've had, you know, within the organization and my work and whatnot, is just put another lens, a microscope on that. So anyway, so it's important that I say that. It's been very difficult for me to speak about this, and this is the first time I openly spoke about it. So, I mean, do you want to say anything about what I've just said and anything that reflects to you?
No, I was going to say congratulate you for, you know, opening up. And I think it's important we do recognise, you know, the strength to talk about mental health and things. So even myself, sometimes it can be challenging. If you asked me this a couple of years ago, I'd probably be really, like, reserved and not say anything. Where, you know, I'm more attuned to it because I've been through things myself as well. And I think it's important that we just self-reflect, like you say. Yeah, that's what counsellors do. Whoever's been counselling, you know, they help you self-reflect so you kind of realise, oh, I know exactly what's happened and where I've went wrong or what I need to do to make it better. So, yeah, no, for me, it's just about, you know, please just, you know, take the time out. And like I said, we'll put all these links in. I hope my brother remembers because I've lost that.
They're all locked in here, and I will be, you know, making sure that they go on your channel.
No, thank you, because I know some of those organisations, and I've actually had some sessions with them as well. You know, whether it's been at work or offline, and they're really helpful. They've helped me a lot to recognise some of my kind of issues that I've been going through, or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah. What I've been saying and what I've been doing, and this goes back to episode one regarding health and well-being, I've been trying to fix my body because I've got a lot of long-term injuries and long-term issues that I've had to deal with. So trying to fix my body to fix the mind, you know, and to fix the mind, I need to fix the body. So I'm doing both things. You know, it's been a very long journey. It's been since about, you know, March time, you know, I've been trying to do that, you know, and you know, my, you know, accommodation status just now and stuff has changed and stuff as well. And again, I won't delve into that just to protect everybody's, you know, privacy and whatnot involved. And that's given me that freedom of movement. So I can move between, you know, the bedroom and the sitting room to the kitchen and do my cooking and to use the bathroom, all these stuff without restrictions, you know. And because, you know, I when I was speaking to the counselor and then also speaking to the GP, I realized with COVID, you know, and post-COVID and the lockdowns and stuff, I, you know, my situation before and before I moved out, I hadn't left social isolation, you know, and now having in my own environment, I have control now. I can go in any room of the flat. I'm in a one-bedroom flat, but anyway, I can move about without worrying about anybody else but me, you know. And I want, again, for, you know, protecting, you know, people involved privacy, I won't mention their names and stuff, you know. So, but that's that. But yeah, but I also thank you to you, because if it weren't for you, my brother, from another mother, you know, I don't think I would have, you know, if I'm going to be brutally honest, survived the last 6 months as well.
Oh,
because it's been really challenging and stuff, you know. I've had some, I think the way I described it to my counselor is I've been in the well of despair, you know. And what my counselor has thrown me a rope, you know, to or with a bucket on it, you know, and to pull me up, you know. Because what I was doing, I was trying to climb out of the well of despair with my fingers and nails, but I keep on hurting myself and falling back down again, you know. But prior to the well of despair, I was in several levels of hell, you know. But through all that, you know, one thing I do have, which, you know, has come through all this 30 years of hurt and through my, you know, 26-year career and then the recent circumstance, last 3 years, the last year particularly difficult, you know, is my personal resilience and grit, is that not quitting. Taking a pause moment is important to take stock of where you are, but don't quit. Right.
Mm.
So what I was doing, though, was I was quitting. I wasn't getting my head out of the pillow, you know. And but what I'm doing is actually getting out of bed. Now, even if getting out of bed, I'm not going to stay in bed after a certain time. I'm going to at least go to the sitting room and sit on the sofa. Then I'm going to go at least go and get a cup of tea. Then I'm going to at least get my breakfast. I'm just doing one step at a time, you know. Right. And as I have no restrictions to any of the rooms, I then, you know, have less chance of me just putting my head on the pillow and staying in my bed, you know, because which is what was happening before, you know. Or when I was, you know, in the other place, I was working at the conservatory, you know, and so again, you know, and in between, you know, I won't talk about that to protect people's privacies and stuff as well, you know. But no, I just want to say thank you to you, because, you know, you don't know how many comments, a lot of love and respect there as well.
No, equally thanks, everyone, because I've been in, you know, dark spots, you know, with my faith, and then reaching out to you has helped 100%. I think on a firefighting, I'm like, right, who can I call on? It's you. I better call this guy. He's going to give me some guidance. And it's always helped, you know, 100%. I'm not just saying that because of the call. It's always greatly appreciated.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's a beautiful way to finish this podcast as well, because this initiative that we started came out of two guys having a chat. It ended up, I mean, then these two guys were actually, you know, from two different faiths, two different religions, you know, and we used to have a number of conversations over the last 8 years and stuff. And we said, you know, it's beautiful, the conversations that we're having. Mm. And, you know, is these conversations men are not having, you know, and, you know, let's just record them for our prosperity, you know, and for us to remember, look back on, you know, for our relationship. And then maybe if somebody else is interested, you know, they could listen and hopefully they could pick up some of the website links that we provide, and, you know, hopefully it'll help them, you know.
100%.
But also, yeah, I mean, anything else to add to that?
No, personally, I mean, looking at the time, that brings it to a really good finish. I think, yeah, just, you know, key things I would say is don't be afraid to reach out. That's so important. And don't feel too egotistic to just kind of be able to open up as well. I think that's so important. I think if you can take anything away, take those things away. And definitely, yeah, look at our links that are going to be posted on the description of the YouTube video, because they're really important and they will help.
Really, you know, nicely said. And I think, you know, one thing, and again, there's another chart that uses a slogan, it's okay not to be okay.
You know, and that's
a really hard lesson. That's a really hard lesson I've learned with my imposter syndrome, you know. So, but anyway, just to, closing as always, thank you to all the listeners to date from all our episodes. Thank you to all the sponsors today, including, you know, Rebel PT. And for to this episode's sponsor, which is Jobs and Care, please look at our website, especially, you know, we need to fill these gaps in recruitment for Jobs and Care. And thanks to Gavin there, the CEO. And also, you know, thanks to Liam, you know, for the production of this podcast and previous podcast, and you know, he's doing a great job, you know. So I'm going to say, as for closing this episode, shukriya, shukran, you know, and thank you.
Yeah, dhanwad from me, and thanks very much for everyone who's took the time to listen.
Yeah, and again, if you have liked these episodes, in this case, your likes will then help us to just decide if we are going to do a new series, you know, and to promote this greater good that we're trying to achieve here, rather than just likes. But you're more than just your likes, actually your comments to just help us to improve, you know, our podcast, you know. So we're going to leave it there. So thank you again. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye.